tonight, you just heard in the news, you'll be hearing it on all newscasts throughout the day, that the doomsday clock is now at its shortest period of time before doomsday, since they invented, since they started keeping this kind of a record. It's a bulletin of the atomic scientists. That's the organization that puts this doomsday clock out. They came up with this concept during the Cold War in order to tell, to alert people to the notion that because of nuclear proliferation and other issues, that time is short for humans if we don't get our act straight. And we have with us one of the people who was involved in this, Air Force Major General retired Robert Latiff. And General, thank you so much for being with us. Who are the people?
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Talk to me a little bit about the kinds of people, the resumes of the people who put this together. Obviously, you're a retired Major General of the Air Force, so you're obviously familiar with thermonuclear war and other kinds of geopolitical issues. Are there climate scientists? Are there epidemiologists? Who else is on this board?
Well, yes. Good question. As a matter of fact, today at the event, we had our climate scientist, Siobhan, was sitting next to me. Very accomplished, very much involved in international work in climate. Several nuclear physicists who also have had experience in the U.S. national laboratories. In the audience, who you didn't see, we had a couple of experts in cyber warfare, Dr. Herb Lin from Stanford. And then we had very accomplished biologist who is involved deeply now in a lot of the bioweapons work. So it's a very eclectic, a very accomplished group. I was happy to be a part of it.
So, General, let's talk about what the dynamics are that go into this. Why would you say that the doomsday clock has been moved up to 100 seconds, which is the closest it's ever been to nuclear midnight, or whatever we want to call that? What are the factors that have done that?
Well, the factors that existed last year when we set it at 2 minutes, the nuclear factor, the climate factor, the information warfare, have not changed, and in fact, in several cases, have gotten worse. And we all know about pulling out of the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty. We know about the issues with the agreement with Iran. We know about pulling out of the Paris Climate. So all of those things, none of those things got any better. And what got worse was our ability and our desire to deal with them. And so a disdain for expert opinion, dismantling of some of the science advisory committees. And so what we felt was that not only here, but all over the world, world leaders have dismissed the idea that we need a control weapon. And so all of those factors go into making a judgment of, are we better off than we were last year? And collectively, and by the way, this is a fairly lengthy process, we collectively said no, we're in worse shape than we were last year.
So, General, the issue of nuclear weapons sort of has lost it's not anywhere in the top 10 anymore of the worries of Americans as it was during the Cold War and at other subsequent times in American history since 1945. It seems that we've lost our concern about that, because that whole idea that the Russians or the Chinese, but primarily the Russians, were just going to launch on us, or we were going to launch on them, and that was always the theme of all of the scare of the 1950s and the 1960s. That right. seems less likely. Now, you think about North Korea, they seem to have limited capability. Iran, even if they were to get a nuclear weapon, would have limited capability to strike the United States. So what... And now, and what is interesting, and people don't really know so much about, is the fact that we now have hypersonic missiles in development, hypersonic delivery vehicles, actually, because they're not really missiles, that are being developed by the Russians. And as a matter of fact, Putin was just out boasting about his, and I know that the president mentioned our development system as well. It seems like, and that is going to shorten the time that it would take to actually strike someplace, and there would be, at this point, there would be no anti-ballistic weapons to take them out. So does that also add to this doomsday clock shortening?
Well, yeah. In fact, yes, it did. And the question of hypersonics and some of those technologies were really the kind of things that I spoke with the board about. But to your point earlier, yes, you know, the Cold War, we were worried about it. And the problems between Russia and the U.S. and China still exist. But what people don't quite get is that, yes, North Korea now actually does have delivery systems that can reach the United States. And when a nuclear war breaks out anywhere in the world, it's going to be a catastrophe for the whole world. And, you know, proliferation is something that people are not paying much attention to.
Right.
The growing number of people who have weapons is a serious problem, and that goes into the judgment call about the clock. So, and hypersonic weapons, yes, hypersonic weapons, you know, they can deliver either conventional or nuclear. And going as fast as they are, it isn't clear to me that you actually need a nuclear warhead.
Yeah.
That's got a lot of energy, so.
Yeah, kinetics. General, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Air Force retired Major General Robert Latiff, who is one of the people who is in the organization that moved the doomsday clock from 2 minutes to 100 seconds. It took 20 seconds off, and that's a top story all over the country today. As a matter of fact, top trending story. Thank you very much, General. Thanks for your time. Let's
thank you.
Check in with Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roads and in the skies?